We are starting a series today, and I've titled the series, The Next Generations. And today, specifically, we're going to look at who are they and why do they matter? The next generations. Who are they and why do they matter? Now, the dictionary definition for generation is all the people of about the same age within a society or within a particular family, or the usual period of time from a person's birth to the birth of his or her children. And that was about 25 to 30 years. And before that, the definition was a generation was about 40 years. But now the definition of a generation is actually divided into 15-year segments. I don't know who makes these guidelines or decides these things, but you might get a little bit confused thinking, what is a generation anymore? But in case you were wondering, they have names and titles for each generation all the way back from 1925. And so they have the generation called the Builders. That is anybody born between 1925 and 1945. Okay, and then we have the Baby Boomers. That's the people who were born from 1946 to 1964. And then Generation X. Oh, I have one for sure. Generation X. Those who were born between 1965 and 1979 and introduced the mullet. No, that wasn't written here. I just wanted the young people to know we are responsible for the mullet. Okay, anyhow. And then there is Generation Y. That's the people born from 1980 to 1994. And then Generation Z, those born from 1995 to 2009. And I'm not sure who decided on making this generation thing, but they started at X. I don't know if they thought the world was ending before Z came, but anyhow, they ran out of letters. And so then they said, let's go to some cool names. So they decided Generation Alpha. That is everybody born between 2010 and 2024. All right, and then they've actually already named the next generation that's going to be born in 2025 to 2039. They're calling them the Beta Generation. All right, all these generations, they've given them characteristics and things they've been through. We're not going to go into that. And we do understand that these generations cross paths and live together right now, except for the ones going to be born in 2025. And they connect, they work together, and maybe as we talk about this, you're like, boy, this is, you're making this confusing. Do I have to remember all those generations? No, you don't. For you and I, and for this series, when we talk about the next generations, we're going to make this simple. For you and I, the next generations are anybody who is at least 15 years younger than you. All right, that makes it simple, doesn't it? So everybody has next generations below them, except if you're only 15. But you will in 2025, you'll have some beta babies. Hey, that kind of rhymes. But anyways, listen, the next generations, who are they? Well, the older generations refer to them as the youth, the kids, the young people. They might be your children. They might be your cousins, your neighbors, your coworkers, or possibly even your friends. That's who the next generation is. I'm not going to spend any more time on who they are, but I'm going to spend a lot of time today on why do they matter. You see, as the world grows more and more selfish, the next generation is often being forgotten or ignored. Did you know that some people today think it's just pointless to leave inheritance for their kids or their grandkids? They no longer care. They become selfish enough. They have slogans like, spend it before you die. But it gets crazier than that. I read about one wealthy philanthropist who left $200 million to a company who searches for aliens. You know, forget the kids. Let's find aliens. Okay. Well, you think that's kind of bad. Did you know that there are rich people who are freezing their bodies after death and their fortunes for future revival? I know you're like, this, what? There is approximately 500 people who have already done this. In other words, they write it up in their will, they meet with this company, and they say, this is what I want you to do. You see, they have themselves frozen in a certain way after death, and then they put their money in a revival trust with the belief that science will one day be able to unfreeze them and bring them back to life. And when they come back to life, they want a lot of money. Excuse me? If that is not the definition of selfish, I don't know what is. I think some people have watched too many science fiction movies. And I don't want to burst anybody's bubble, but this book says it's appointed unto men and women to die once. But in people's desire to put God aside and get him out of their lives because they don't want anybody telling them what to do, they have come up with some crazy stuff. Did you know that the companies that do this for people charge only $200,000 to do it? And they say you need at least $500,000 in this trust, revival trust, because there's going to be a lot of expenses while you're frozen. Imagine that. And because they don't really know, they have made these trusts, some of them up to 500 years. They're going to freeze their money. And then some even up to 1,000 years. Wow. Can I say this loud and clear? The next generations don't need our frozen bodies. They need our help, and they need it now. It's time to put the selfish junk aside because the next generations matter. Did you know it is estimated that there are 30 billion people being human trafficked worldwide? I said 30 billion. And there's a number of those who are children and youth. The UN estimates that there are 150 million street children in the world today. Now, you heard me right, 150 million children who live on the streets. And this next part, I'm going to try to put it as nicely as I can for about a horrific thing, but let me say it this way. The statistics show that most of these street children have AIDS, and you can figure out why. That's an extreme side, but how about we bring it back to maybe what some of us have experienced, and that's the fact that many other children are just simply left alone to figure out life on their own. They're left alone to numb their minds on a never-ending flood of screen time entertainment because everyone is just too busy. They matter. The next generations cannot be ignored. They matter too much. Why do they matter is what I'm going to look at. Let me start with something that maybe you'll take to heart because it's going to affect you, and it's this. The next generations matter because their decisions will shape the world you and I live in later in life. You're like, well, I'm retiring now. I'm getting out of everything. There's somebody making decisions for the government, for what happens in this world, and their decisions will have consequences that affect you and I. Scripture shows this clearly in a story about a priest named Eli. You see, Eli raised his boys, but he did not correct his boys or train them to follow God's ways. And he was warned not once, not twice, three times. And his final warning was given to Samuel, just a young person in the temple. And God speaks to him and says this in 1 Samuel 3, verse 11. The Lord said to Samuel, behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew. Because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. You see, in Scripture, we actually read there was one spot where Eli went to his sons and said, this is really bad what you're doing. But that was it. He let them keep doing it. Let me say something really clear. Parenting is not just saying nice things. Parenting is saying, this is the way it is. Not if you just feel like it. And there's a reason parents do this, because they care about the future of their children. They care about the next generations. A parent who truly cares corrects. If you're like, oh, my parents are just so annoying, they're always on me. Okay, you better thank God you got a parent who cares about you. They could just be ignoring you, or worse, you could be on the street. Well, then your parents won't tell you what to do. Nobody will tell you what to do. There'll be no rules. You can do whatever you want. But there'll be nobody providing for you. There'll be nobody protecting you. And like those children we mentioned, at the mercy of pimps and perverts. Not a joke. Parents, teenagers who are here, I know others are, the kids are in the kids ministry side, and that's why I'm bringing some stuff pretty straight. It matters. You see, Eli didn't stop them from what they were doing. They were, it said that these sons of his who were priests, ministers for God, were sleeping with the women who were coming to the temple. But God said, that's not all, and that's not even the worst of it. In those days, offerings were brought, and they were lambs or animals, and there was a way to do it properly. It was supposed to be burnt, sacrificed to God, and there were certain portions that were for the Levites, the priests, because that was how they ate. But these sons decided that they wanted the best of the best, and they wanted the fat left on it. In other words, they wanted to fulfill their lust, their desires every way possible, and they could care less what God said. And they would hook in and take it before the people could even sacrifice it to God because they wanted the fat. You know why Eli didn't stop them? Because he was eating the same stuff that they were taking. So how do you know that? Because this prophecy came to pass. Three warnings, and he didn't still say, you guys stop. You know what he said? Oh, whatever God wants to do. When God prophesies something like this, it's not to say whatever. It's to say, I hear you. I don't want it to come. And you make a change. But he didn't. And the day would come. There would be someone who comes back from the army. And they say to Eli, your two sons have both been killed. You see, the sons took the Ark of God. It was the box where his presence dwelt. It was supposed to stay in the temple, but they took it. They had this good idea. If we take this box along with us in the battle, we'll win. Can I say something? God is not a lucky charm. And you choose to live in sin and just, I'm going to wear a cross and everything will be wonderful. It doesn't work that way. And someone comes back to Eli, and he's sitting on a bench, and he says, your sons have died, and the Ark of God has been taken by the enemy. He fell backwards off his chair and broke his neck. And Scripture says, because he was so heavy. He didn't stop them because he was eating it with them. Parents, the things you tell the next generations matter. You taking a stand for truth and righteousness will make a difference. And your children, your teenagers, they're going to hear your words, but they're going to watch your actions far more. You can't say don't do it while you do it yourself. I apologize if this is a bit heavy this morning. It's what God gave me to share, and it's for a reason. You see, the next generations matter. And the laws and the rules that they put into place when you're retired and old will have consequences. The decisions we make now matter. Young people, if you have a parent who talks to you and tells you things, you thank God. You thank God you have a parent who cares. Did you know that there's a scripture verse that says that the parent that does not correct their child hates them? What? That's what it says. The parent's job is not to be their child's best friend. Well, I don't even want to sell them anything. I just want them to like me. That's not your job. You know what? They will love you, especially if you train them up. And the day will come that they will thank you. The next generations matter because the church and the beliefs we hold dear must be passed on, or they will die with us. You see, the mission of the church is passed from generation to generation. That's how he works. It is not passed on by listening to an online message. I thank God for online and how we can learn things and even grow in our understanding, but the mission of the church is passed on face to face, person to person, handshake to handshake. It is passed on with an older generation saying to the younger generation, step up, it's your turn. Or maybe I should say it again, you can't do that alone at home watching a screen. Ooh, Lord, that'll preach. The next generation matters too much, and they will be responsible for taking this forward, God's kingdom purpose. Genesis 18, 19, God basically tells us why he chose Abraham. He said, I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Abraham was chosen to be the father of many nations, to be the father of generations that would bring a blessing on all people, which would be Jesus, the Son of God. He didn't say, I chose him because he's so smart. He didn't say, I chose him because he's so wealthy. He said, I chose him because he will direct his children. He will train them up. And he will train them up in a way that they will train theirs up, and their children will train their children up. Did you know looking after kids is a great responsibility as a Christian, as a believer? And you can't just say, do it because I said. You might have them do it, but they will never know why, and they will never train their children. You need to explain why you say. If you're telling your children, hey, you don't need to date right now because you're not ready, don't just say, don't because I said so. Tell them why you said so. Tell them clearly, because we don't need 13-year-olds having babies. We don't need 14-year-olds having transmitted diseases. And we don't need young people broken and crushed because someone they thought loved them so much is now sleeping with somebody else. Tell them why. When you are ready, when you've prayed about it, when you are ready. And that's why. Don't tell your young people stay away from alcohol because I said so. Tell them why. Tell them clearly. Alcohol destroys people's lives. It destroys marriages. It destroys families. It causes people to do things they would never do. Young people, if your parents are telling you and you don't get it, then ask why. It's not just 5-year-olds that should say why. If you don't know why, ask why. And parents, make sure you're ready to answer. They need you. If I could tell you the statistics, I don't have them on my mind, that a huge amount of young people take their lives when they're on alcohol. You're like, wasn't drugs the bad one? They're the same, just different. Tell them why. Parents, when you tell them why, they're going to tell their children why. Like, oh, but it isn't that bad, is it? What about adults? Why don't you ask the mom or the lady who's been abused by a man every time he drinks if it's just fine for adults? Tell them why. Parents, you have kids, you have young people. I'm going to encourage you right now, today, have a weekly family night where you tell them the whys, where you talk to them for real. You make yourself schedule it, or you'll be too busy and you won't even realize suddenly they're 15, 16, 17, and you're getting a call from the police about something, and you're like, what? The next generations matter too much, and they need us. You see, the church and what it stands for can't go forward unless we pass it on. Jesus made it clear this is how we're going to pass it on. And he made disciples and he told them, go out and make more disciples. I don't need to read it. It's in Matthew 28:19 for those who need to know. Did you know that They have figured that most of Jesus' disciples were 20 years old or younger. He knew about passing it to the next generation, didn't he? The next generations will take it forward. You see, if we forget about the next generations, churches will die with those who founded them. And sad to say, there are many that have. They forgot this important part about giving it to the next. And they got older and older, and pretty soon there was no next. I remember hearing a story from an area where a young couple, you know, quite young, and they had felt God telling them, start a church, and they put their own money into it, and they brought this mobile unit into this outlying area. And they started inviting people, and an older couple got upset. This older couple met with them and said, you are not supposed to be starting a church. And they said, why? And the older couple said, because 50 years ago, a prophet came and told us we were supposed to do it. Then why didn't they do it 50 years ago? Can I tell you something? That older couple should have showed up to support and give wisdom and understanding to the young couple and invite every person they knew. But they didn't. They fought it. Guess what? The next generations matter too much. And they need us. You see, the next generations matter because they will have the passion to do what you and I didn't want to or couldn't. The pastor who preached here before me, partway into my first year, we had a great meeting and some prayer time, and he said, you know what? I want my ceiling to be your floor. Take it forward, go! You see, I'm going to only explain again in Numbers, there's a story about God's people who were supposed to go into the promised land, but they were afraid and didn't. And the generation was afraid and wouldn't, but guess what? Their kids did. Their kids went in unafraid. You see, they wouldn't go in because of fear, and the next generation did. David wanted to build God a mighty temple, but he had too much blood on his hands from all the battles. And God said, no, David, but your son will build the temple. And David did everything in his power to make sure his son succeeded. He provided finances for it. He provided the blueprints for it. He organized people. And then he had a great big meeting and said, he's going to build it. The next generation needs you and I to succeed. They need you and I to push them forward. And finally, the next generation matters because Jesus loves them too. Let us not be selfish and think it's only about us and that why would we go beyond? In Mark 10:13, it says, one day some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them, but the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. And when Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with his disciples. He said, let the children come to me. Don't stop them. For the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. And I tell you the truth. Anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter into it. And he took them in his arms. He placed his hands on their heads and he blessed them. Who are you blessing in the generation below you? Who are you bringing forward? Who are you setting up to succeed? Press in. Jesus loved the next generation and he warned, do not hurt them. In Matthew 18, and I'm just going to go to verse 5. Matthew 18, verse 5. It says, anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf is welcoming me. But if you cause one of these little ones who trusts in me to fall into sin, it would be better for you to have a large millstone tied around your neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. Can I say this? Our job is to raise them up, not to crush them down. Our job is to see them move forward, not shut them up. And Jesus made a pretty strong statement. Don't you dare. Can I say this, parents and to the older generations? If you're having a bad day and you're angry and upset, don't you take it out on the kids. If you got issues, you've been hurt, don't you dare take it out on the young people. They will never forget. Because you were broken, don't pass the brokenness down. Get healed. Get healed. Be made well and set the next generation up for success. You see, Jesus had compassion on all generations. In Matthew 9:35, it said, Jesus traveled throughout all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields." The next generations need you and I. Jesus said, "How will they believe unless they hear? And how will they hear unless somebody preaches?" Preaching isn't just for up here, my friends. Preaching is telling the good news across the coffee table, at the work setting, when somebody's asking you the hard questions. So are we willing to give the next generation what they need to succeed? Are we willing to set them up for success? Are we willing to prepare them for eternity? See, the next generation needs to know about salvation and about following Christ, and you and I were called to pass it on. I'm wrapping up right now. I don't know everybody here this morning, but if you're here and you have never asked Christ to forgive you, to come into your heart, to make you whole, we're going to take opportunity to do that today, because you see, your eternity matters. And if we tell you everything about finance and life and forget eternity, we are in trouble. And your eternity matters because Jesus hung on a cross to pay for your sin. His body was beaten that you could be made whole inside. Maybe you're sitting here today and you are broken. He wants to make you whole. He wants to make you well. We're going to pray right now, and I'm going to ask you as an entire group to repeat this prayer after me. Because you see, his word says, if you believe it in your heart and speak it with your mouth, you will be saved. So repeat this after me. Say, "Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I ask you now, forgive me for all my sin. Make me new. Use my life. I thank you now. I am yours." Amen. Give God praise for that.